All right, I'm going to get a bottle of water. Hang on, I'm coming. Well, it's nice to see you brave souls here today. I knew a lot of you would be here today, and certainly, you know, we want people to be safe, and you know, if people aren't comfortable getting out, you know, I totally get that and understand that, and I want people to use their best judgment. But most of the time, we will have our services here, you know, and just leave it to people to, you know, take care of their own selves and family. But most likely, we're going to be meeting unless it gets really, really bad. And you know what? I got up this morning and I thought, if only PennDOT was responsible for my sidewalk and driveway. Because once I got on the highway, it wasn't bad at all. But I almost killed myself when I stepped off my porch. And then, you know, now that we remodeled our garage into a room, my car sits outside, so it was a block of ice. And but anyway, worked through all that, and we're here, and I'm glad we're here, and I'm glad you're here. And we will share from the Word this morning. But you know, it's nice to come, you know, to gather. You know, Mike led us in a time of communion there. I'm going to turn your attention here to a brand new series that we're starting today, and I was really excited about this, and I hate that a lot of people are going to miss it, but they can catch up with us online, or who knows, maybe a whole lot more people will show up at the second service at 11, since it's most likely going to be much warmer then, and things will be a little bit better. Let me tell you where this series came from, because it's kind of interesting. You know, every day, most every day, I sit in my office and I read or study. I'm working on my computer. I'm sitting there at my desk, and I got bookshelves around that have books on them. And of course, at home, I have, you know, shelves with books on them. And so I spend a lot of time sitting with this in front of me. And it's funny how a book will sit on your shelf for a long time, and you won't pick it up. Do you do that? I do that quite often. Well, Judah Smith, you ever heard of him? Judah Smith is a pastor, and really, I've heard him speak a number of times, and just really, really good, very insightful. Well, I had this book on my shelf that I saw for a long time. Well, a few weeks ago, I had some time, and I took that book off the shelf. First thing I did was I looked at the copyright. So it's been on my shelf for about 5 years. And I never remember opening it or reading it. I know I hadn't read it. But I picked this book up at some conference I was at or something, and it caught my attention, and then it got on my shelf, and there it sat. And the title of the book is How's Your Soul? And we're going to talk about that actually next week, but I read the book, and man, it was so good, you know, identifying, you know, what is our soul, and just talking a lot about, you know, just personal reflection. So as I said, and after I read the book, I thought, you know what, this would be a great series, and not just about the soul, but I started just jotting down, you know, things like, you know, how's your family? How's your marriage? How's your relationships? You know, how's your work? How's your stewardship? You know, how's your tongue? And I filled up a legal pad of questions like this. How's your? And then I found this beautiful passage that we'll get to here in just a minute. But I looked at this pad and I thought, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a series. And right now it's 8 weeks. It's probably going to be longer than that. But right now I have 8 weeks planned answering this question. Okay? And we're going to start today not by asking or filling this blank in with anything, but we're just going to kind of reflect on the question. How's your? Because you know what? Most often what I find when we when we ask this question or when we hear this question, it's very much a cliche. How are you doing? How's your family? How's your mom and dad? I saw them the other day, but I didn't get to speak to them. How's work? How's the kids? And most often, when we ask that question, we receive an answer that is very much a cliche as well. Oh, I'm fine. They're doing good. And even when a question is asked that needs to cause some self-examination, most often we answer that question not to allow someone who really cares about us and loves us to go deeper and to really encourage us with a situation or something that's going on in our lives. But most often we answer those questions in a way that will make the conversation as short as possible. Right? So what I want to do over the next number of weeks is to extend the conversation as we ask this question about many, many things in your life. Now you can fill in the blank. You know, you can have a moment of self-reflection right now, and although I, you know, gave out a number of different things there would be other things that you could put in there that would cause self-reflection. You know, how's your health? How's your finances? On mornings like this, how's your tires? Right? Where you could cause yourself to go deeper into a lot of different areas of life. Now let me show you from the Word of God why this is so very important. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse number 5, what a beautiful verse this is. And this isn't the only one. You can find this kind of thing a lot of places in the Bible. Look at this. He says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith." Wow. Now when you read this passage and think about it and contemplate it, what Paul seems to be saying is that, you know what, if you don't do this, if you don't go through this time of self-reflection, if you don't go deep into your life and test how you're doing, what you believe, and why, what does he say? He says that your faith is not genuine. Test yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. And if you're not recognizing that Jesus Christ is among you and what he desires for you to do in testing your faith, finding out whether or not it's genuine, then in reality, it's really not true. There's nothing better than faith. Salvation. And the only thing better than faith is a tested faith that is proved to be genuine. Arlene said something to me very interesting the other day. Not too long back, we had eaten something, and we both had a little bit of a tummy ache. And we went to the drugstore to buy some Pepto-Bismol, okay? And we both wanted this and thought that we both needed it. Well, they didn't have any Pepto-Bismol. They only had the off-brand, the generic, you know, the one that's put out by the store that you're in or whatever. That was the only thing that was available. And we bought it. And we used it, and things seemed okay. But Arlene said the other day, she said, "You know what, honey, in the future, I'm only going to buy the real thing because I don't think that was quite as good." You see, that's the experience I want all of us to have today. To have experience of examining ourselves and realizing how important it is. Not that we say we're a believer, but that we recognize that we are a genuine believer. We recognize that Jesus Christ is among us. And that we do not want to fail the test. and maybe appear, and that seems to be the thing that everybody does. We just want to appear okay. We want to appear faithful. We want to appear like we have it everything together. We want to appear to others that they're not able to see the chinks in our armor, the cracks in our facade. And that and listen, folks, that kind of fake realism does no good. So here's what God is saying to us today. Self-examination is so very important. You see, I equate self-examination with real repentance. Because so often we live in a culture today where we don't deal with big issues in life or even about faith until we're confronted with them by others. Secrets come out. Things become known. Consequences become evident. But blessed is, as Jesus said, you know, that people are going to believe. But he said, bless those who haven't seen and still believe. And I think we here can be blessed if we just up front say, you know what, I need to take a look at my life, everything about my life, examine my life, and make some changes, not based on what other people know, but what I understand. And what I realize is real and genuine faith. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk to you about three different people. And we're going to look at these three different people several different ways throughout this series. But all three of these people understood, recognized, and accepted the need for self-evaluation, for self-examination. And I will submit to you that these people achieved things in their faith in God and in their understanding of the Lord that literally came from that very place in their life. How about King David? You know what? You could spend a year reading the words that King David wrote about self-examination, about his own sin, about his recognition of his own sin and his declaration to God that he needed God's forgiveness for that sin. Now, there was an instance in Dave's life, you know, when the prophet came to him, told him this story about a man that had a small lamb, and somebody of great importance took that lamb for their own and said to David, David, what should happen to this man? And David declared this man guilty because of what he had done. And the prophet said, David, you are that guy. No justification. No yeah buts. David just recognized and realized. And that seemed to be a turning point in David's life, because many of the things that he wrote in Psalms after that dealt with how he recognized his own sin and how he needed God's help with that. I submit to you today that that's probably the biggest reason that David was known as a man after God's own heart. Because he recognized his frailty. He recognized his need for God. He declared his understanding who God was and how much he depended on him. So he came to God. And he spent a lot of time in self-evaluation. See, here's the thing. If the king spends time in self-evaluation and becomes better, what a great example to all of his subjects, to all of his people in his kingdom. What a great example of faith and really maturity, and what an understanding to all those that would bow before him to recognize what he said. and how he would evaluate himself in light of God and God's character and God's word. David wrote songs about self-evaluation, and it stood as a testament to all those people that he led. Here's the thing, folks. So often we shy away from self-evaluation because we think that people will think less of us, when in reality, it will build our character in front of all these other people. How about the Apostle Paul? You know, the Apostle Paul, what a tremendous example of self-evaluation. There were a number of times in the Word where Paul said, you know what? What a wretched man I am. He called himself the chief of sinners. He said to the Romans, the very things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I know I should not do are the very things that I do. You know, King David admitted his sin. He admitted his wandering eyes and how that led to his sin. He admitted how he gave in to temptation. And through this time of self-evaluation, he grew. He became better. And the Apostle Paul was the exact same person. You know what? You can't read the New Testament without thinking that Paul was just an arrogant son of a gun early on. You know, he was the guy that held the coats while they stoned Stephen. He was the guy that was not trusted by the early apostles because they thought, you know what? He's just tricking us. He's going to get us in a corner and he's going to arrest us. He's going to pull out some weapon. They had no idea what was going on. But Paul had to convince him that he was the real deal. Now, how did he do that? He did that by saying, listen, Jesus Christ appeared to me. And I gave myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I am the chief of sinners. He understood where he came from and how he lived and how God, through Christ, had changed his life. And here's the thing, folks. I just think that you and I need to look at David, need to look at Paul, and then look at ourselves. And how are we doing in that? You know, years ago, I'll tell you a little story. Years ago, when I, very first ministry I ever had, you know, I was young, dumber than a rock, you know, and I remember at one point during the year that we were doing this evaluation of the church, and people in the congregation had filled out an evaluation in the church. And you know what? I loved looking at those evaluations, and they were saying, you know, oh, Pastor John, he is so nice. Pastor John, he is so wonderful. I just love Pastor John. Arlene is a lucky woman to have. No, that one wasn't in there. I made that one up. But there were just all these different ones, you know, and they were just, you know, my head was getting big. And then I came to one, and it just simply said, Pastor John is just kind of full of himself. Oh. And you know what? I could not get over that one word until somebody told me one time that in every criticism, there's an ounce of truth. In every criticism, there's an ounce of truth. And you know what? No one can be truer about your true self than you. You know, where you may differ what someone else may say about you or how they may evaluate you, but if you are true to yourself, you know exactly who you are and who you're becoming, where you're headed. Think about it. David, without self-evaluation, would have just simply been an adulterer and a murderer and a liar. But with self-evaluation and forgiveness, he became the man after God's own heart. The Apostle Paul, he would have been, a member of the Sanhedrin. He would have been the opposition of the early church. He would have been the executioner of early Christians. But then he met Jesus on the road, did some amazing self-evaluation, and through the ministry of a man called Ananias, he said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." And through his humility and through his self-evaluation, self-examination, and through his understanding that he needed more than an arrogant attitude, convinced of the law, but that he needed to become a forgiven individual in the presence of Jesus. And what did he become? He became the voice of the New Testament church. He became the author of more than half of what we know of as the New Testament. He became a man that gave his life and was martyred for the very thing that he fought against early in his life. So look at David and learn. Look at Paul and learn. And then listen to Jesus. Jesus in the Gospels, in talking about, in calling his disciples to himself, in Matthew and Mark and other places, in calling his disciples to himself, he made it a point to say, count the cost. Take a look at what this is going to cost you before you buy in. And here's the thing. Think about it this way. The closer Jesus came to the cross, the smaller the crowd of followers became. Jesus called the disciples and they laid down their nets and they followed him. All of a sudden he had hundreds and even thousands of people listening to his teaching. But then when it came time for him to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and to go to the cross and die and then be resurrected 3 days earlier, The crowds had swelled to thousands, and then all of a sudden Jesus is praying in the garden and there's only three. And then he's being led to being crucified and there's only one. You see, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to the cross of Jesus, the less the crowds become. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and there is only a few. Jesus said to make sure that we count the cost. And what is the cost? Here's the thing. The enigma of this is that the cost is free, but it cost us everything. Right? I mean, salvation through Jesus Christ is a free gift, doesn't cost us anything, but it cost us everything. Jesus said that if you don't follow me and leave your brother, leave your father and mother, turn your back on all of that, and take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my follower. You see, it's a free gift, but it literally cost us everything. So let's count the cost. Let's examine our lives. Let's take a look and see if our faith is real. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. For surely we know that Jesus is among us. He wants to give us the free gift, but he wants us to recognize that it cost us everything. So here's the thing. Let me ask you three more questions, and you can fill in the blank here with these. You know, is talking about faith, you know, talking about our understanding, talking about our self-evaluation, our self-examination. When we look at ourselves, what do we see? And do we see a genuine faith? And ask yourself this, is it mine? Is it real? Is it making a difference? Your faith, your self-examination, who you are in Christ. Is it mine? Is it yours? Is it real? Is it genuine? And is it making a difference? You know, there's a time in my life where I really depended on the faith of other people. The faith of my family, the faith of my mother. Personally, I'd never made a personal decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I felt a closeness to Christ because of other people that was in my family that I thought were close to them. And I kinda had a quasi-faith through them. There could be people here today that have that kind of faith. You don't have your own faith. You never accepted Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. You never made that public confession. You've never had this internal conversation and self-examination and that led to an understanding of what you needed in Him. Well, today's the day. It can be yours. It can be your faith. And secondly, is it real? There's an awful lot of people that have a faith, but it's not a real faith. You know, recently I was talking to someone who I know is a Christian. I know their background. I know their family. I know them quite well. But in talking to them, they expressed some doubt about God and about His working. You know, I'm convinced that there's a lot of people experiencing that kind of thing today. And where is God in all this? Why are we still dealing with things like this? So you have to ask yourself, is this faith my faith? And is it real? Is it a real, genuine faith? And here's the way you can answer it. Here's the way you can answer that. Is it making a difference? Now, I don't mean to say then, is it giving you everything you want? Is your life peachy and rosy and coming up flowers? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, is your faith helping you to deal with the things in your life? Is it mine? Is it real? Is it making a difference? You know what? When you ask that about King David, is it mine? Is it real? Is it making a difference? The answer unequivocally is yes. You know, when you ask that about the Apostle Paul, was it his? Is it real? Did it make a difference? Oh my goodness, yes. And then when you hear the words of Jesus, and Jesus says, come follow me, but first make sure that you count the cost and know that although it will be free, it will cost you literally everything. And when we embrace that life in Christ Jesus, then every day we ask ourselves these questions. And the way we answer them and the way that we live and the way that we conduct our life will tell us whether or not it's genuine. You know, there's several places in the New Testament, we're going to look at these in the coming weeks, you know, where they deal with people whose faith was not genuine. In one place, Paul talks about these two individuals whose faith obviously wasn't genuine, and he said they have been given over to the devil. I don't want that, and I'm sure you don't want that either. So the way that we combat that is to make sure that every day of our lives that we deal with self-evaluation. Did you know that in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not until that moment that anything is ever asked for in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us for trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. You know how it goes. But here's the thing. It's not until that point that anything is ever asked for. which means to me that when we bow our heads and pray to God, that it must always be led with this time of self-reflection, of self-evaluation, of understanding who God is and how awesome He is and how great He is and how much we need to depend on Him. So over these next number of weeks, we're going to fill in this blank. We're going to look at it from the Word of God and hopefully come to a great understanding of how important it is that we spend time evaluating all of these areas of life, examining ourselves in view of God's Word, and then being real with the answers and real with the solutions. Because you know what I've found? Solutions are quite easy. It's just the implementation that's difficult. Right? I mean, if you ask anybody that's dealing with any addiction, the solution's easy. It's just implementing that becomes so hard. So let's look at the solutions. And let's understand that while the implementation may be difficult and challenging, we still can do it through the strength that He gives to us. So let's pray right now, as David prayed, as Paul prayed, as Jesus invited us to count the cost, and to know that our faith needs to be ours, it needs to be real, and it needs to make a difference. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this good morning, Lord. Thank You for the safety that You've given to us as we come out to Your house to worship today. Lord, be with all of our loved ones, our friends that are not here. Not comfortable, Lord, getting out on the icy roads and sidewalks and everything. But yet, Lord, we're here and we're going to pray for them and with them and ask You, God, to bless them as they seek You, as we are seeking You here today. God, I know this is a great question that You would love to ask all of us. How's your fill in the blank? So I pray, Lord, that today, as we've talked about the importance of self-evaluation, that, Lord, You will, that Your Spirit will hear us and help us, Lord, to do the right thing, to have a genuine faith that makes a difference in all of our lives. May it be so, Father. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.